Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to this episode of the Pursuit of Calling podcast with me, your host, Thomas Carney. So I have a wedding this weekend, so I didn't have time to record a new episode for you guys. However, I got a backlog of stuff that you guys have heard in the past. One of the top episodes that you guys really liked was one that Sean and I did with Dave Miller. He talks about his trial of going through alcohol addiction and how he overcame it through community and what really how God moved in and through his life. So guys, check it out. If you guys haven't heard this one before, it's going to be great. And if you have heard it before, give it another listen. I will say, I apologize for the audio quality. I didn't have the same setup, had a little bit of a janky setup at the time, so forgive that. Ian's going to do his best with the editing. We'll see how good it gets. But before we dive in, I want to ask you to send me a message. If you have any questions, or you want me to talk on a particular topic, or you just want to say some encouraging words, you can do so on Instagram or via the email that is listed in the show notes of this episode. All right, guys, see you in there.
We got special guests here for you today. You're going to love it. And Thomas, you can take it from here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, today we have special guests. Like Sean said, we have Dave Miller.
Hey, say hi, Dave. Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm honestly really excited for this episode because Sean and I aren't the best at reaching out to people sometimes when it comes to getting guests, and now we're getting better at it. And whenever you asked to be on, didn't you?
Yeah, I said if you ever need someone, I'm happy to do it.
Right, and I was like, okay, this is up until the team night we had the other day at Amplify. I was like, okay, this is happening. And then I was like, okay. And then I got the be reminded who you are again by just your personality and how bright you are.
Okay. And well, thanks.
And it was I was talking to Ian and Brady, who if people don't know who that is, they work on production and IT at Amplify Church. And I was like, yeah, I'm actually really excited for this because that reminded me of specifically about your servant heart and how you dove into production because there was a need, and we'll maybe go into that a bit, but that's not going to be the main topic of the conversation. But
yeah, I like spontaneity. I don't always like being put in a box.
Yeah.
I like jumping in where when you see that there's help needed. I like just kind of that spontaneity of jumping in and just kind of, helping out and contributing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And to kind of get into, talk to the audience real quick. So we were trying to figure out, what we were going to do for the episode. And I had an idea of, and maybe this is a separate episode, but I had an idea of specifically focusing on the servant heart. And then you, Sean mentioned what you said and about wanting to talk more about habits.
Yeah.
And diving into your own struggles because of what you've gone through, and you're like, maybe I can help some people with my testimony, essentially.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was like, let's do that. that sounds I wanted to be true to you, the truest, and I was like, I thing, cause like this, like whatever, and whenever we have guests, like it's not always gonna be like, oh, what do they want to do?
Right.
But that whenever you gave that option, I was like, that actually sounds like, that sounds like it just sounds like it would be something, just knowing your, like the little bit I do about you would be something that would be beneficial to not just Sean and I, but to the people, all the people that listen.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, like, you know, I haven't known you guys that long, and
yeah,
you know, it gives me an opportunity to get to know you guys a little bit better as well.
Absolutely.
And, especially through church. You know, these two guys are amazing. You gotta subscribe to this channel. These guys are, for young people, man, they have a heart for God that is just on fire, and they're world changers. And I just feel blessed that they're in my life and in my children's lives as well.
Huh. Thanks, Dave.
David's the man. Honestly, I always love your heart, man. Behind the scenes, the strength that you pull in from the church, like what God's given you is a specific gift. And I'm excited today because we go a little deeper and we get to go a little deeper into who David is.
Yep.
And it's going to be great.
Cool. Yeah, with that said though, like, you said you got a milestone coming up.
Yeah, I do. So, October 1st of this year, I will have 11 years sober from alcohol.
Let's go.
So, yeah, it's been a journey for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely been a journey.
And what specifically about that journey did you kind of, were you thinking about talking about today?
Well, can I give a little bit of background?
Yeah.
Yeah, so growing up, you know, I grew up here in Plum Borough. And, you know, I have a younger sister, and mom and dad were in the house. My dad was a pretty rough alcoholic when I was growing up. And, you know, it's funny, they say you tend to become what you hate. And I always thought to myself, man, I'm never going to be like that. You know, I don't want to be that person. But it's sort of in your DNA, you know, it's sort of what you know, what you're brought up in. And unfortunately, I guess when tough times come, you've kind of fall to that default of that type of behavior. And, you know, it's something that I fell into later in life. Well, probably when I probably started drinking when I was like 15,
okay.
15 years old. And yeah, so, you know, like I said, it was around me all the time. I was in that environment a lot. And, you know, I guess it got its claws in me, so.
Mm-hmm. And starting at 15, and then how long did that, you said now you've been 10 years, 11 years?
Yeah, right. I'm 53, so
yeah.
Take 11 off of that, 42.
Mm-hmm.
So about 15 to 42.
Okay. And was it, like, a big problem that whole time?
Not the entire time. It's interesting. I wasn't a person who... Like, I didn't drink every day.
Yeah.
But when I did, it was all out.
Mm.
Like, once I started, I couldn't stop. So, you know, a typical night for me, you know, going out to the bar might be 15 beers and shots. You know, essentially, pretty much almost a blackout every time.
Hmm.
You know, that was, I just, once I started, I couldn't stop. I couldn't put it down. And, you know, that led to some issues. So.
So would you be mind maybe diving into some of those issues?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, when you're younger, you don't have the responsibilities. It didn't seem to be as big of a problem, right? Because I just had me. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have kids. I didn't have a lot of those responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So the effects of it didn't seem to be as big. Back then, although you know, there were times, you know, it had cost me a job at one point in my life. It had cost me some relationships and friendships in life. It's one of those things where you become sort of a slave to it, you know. And believe it or not, you know, growing up, I was very shy and very. I had huge self-esteem issues, huge. And I still battle with a lot of self-esteem issues today, to be honest with you. But growing up, that was really hard for me to talk to anybody, to, you know, meet girls. Like, I couldn't. And I think the alcohol that kind of numbed me and kind of brought out this I don't care about the consequences type of approach, you know, like, oh, well, if they say no, who cares? I'm, you know, I'm having a good time anyways. And so, you know, it was really self-medicating, you know, some of the issues that I was going through. You know, later in life, I was diagnosed with clinical depression and anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. So those are things that, you know, I still manage today, yeah. But do it in different ways. You know, instead of going to the bottle, you know, I've gone to therapy. I take some medication, and you know, and obviously, you know, my faith has really been a key part in beating it.
That is deep. And honestly, I feel like a lot of guys go through those same type of situations in life where, like, for me personally, I know that I battled anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And it caused me to do things like drink, smoke, sleep with around, and do all type of other stuff. So, like, I love that we're going so deep because, I mean, honestly, these are, like, this is real talk right now, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think if we look at the issues that we deal with, just anybody in life, it always goes back to your childhood.
Yeah.
It 100% goes back to your childhood, you know? And, again, you know, it wasn't an ideal situation in my house. My dad was pretty rough. He would get pretty rough. You know, I'd kind of try to protect my sister and, you know, kind of take some things there. And I think just going through some of those things and just the world that we live in today, you know, everybody has some anxiety and some depression. And, you know, those are some things that I think everybody deals with, you know, and I'm so glad that it's finally getting to be a little more comfortable and a little more acceptable that this stigma around mental health isn't what it used to be. Right. Yeah. And I honestly think everybody should be in therapy today, just the way the world is. Yeah. And I mean, you know, people go to the gym to work out their body and to stay in shape. Boy, our mind is under attack all the time, you know, from the enemy, from the world. Yeah. So why wouldn't you go to someone that is an expert in coping and dealing with those things? So
I heard before, I feel like it was somebody in person that told me this, that therapists, like, they were given a calling, and God gave them a calling to be able to understand, to want to know and understand more about, like, how the human mind works, and understand, so, like, they can understand more about how your mind works than you do just by having, like, a quick conversation.
Yeah.
And there's a that's a gift that they have, and, like, they wouldn't have it if it wasn't meant to be used. And there's, like, I've been in therapy for, like, about a year, and I was going every week, and just this last session that we had, I decided to go every other week. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and she looked at me, saw a video over video, and she, like, looked at me, and said, yeah, you're ready.
You're making progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I think a lot of times people might want, you know.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I try therapy, and, you know, they didn't do anything. I don't feel any better. It's a process, you know, and it might be the person you're with too. Sometimes it's going to a couple different people to find the one that you kind of gel with, right?
Right.
But you have to, it's a process. I relate it to the gym again. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to get in great shape going one time. You have to do it consistently. Yeah. And I think it's the same thing with your mind.
Absolutely.
I agree. I think, like, you have something to say?
No, absolutely. I agree. I feel like if somebody can't get therapy, then you should at least have good counsel where you're able to at least release what's on your mind. Like, having a minister or somebody you can just sit there and talk to if you can't afford therapy for whatever reason or whatever situation is. But therapy still needs to happen. There's different types of way of therapy. Well, going to a therapist is good, going to a pastor, going to a counselor, going somewhere where you're able to release the mind. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think even like, I think for I'm trying to figure out which direction I want to go. One thing is I think a lot of people don't think they need it because they're not in a really bad situation. And I, like you were saying, like the world is so like messed up nowadays. You might not know you're in a bad situation, but and like you might think what you're going through, right? It's just your life.
Yeah.
So therefore, why would you need to go to therapy for it? And that's just how it always has been. And I feel like you get to the right therapist just for like just one session and one or like you said maybe it takes three or four. But your eyes can be open to so many other things, like as to like maybe there are links back to your childhood that to what you're to how your mind works right now that you weren't thinking of before.
Right.
And so I think a lot of like me, I didn't go to therapy until there was like the immediate need for it.
Yeah.
And I think if people like you said, like if people go to the gym when they're weak. And they keep going when they're strong. You can't stop.
That's right.
So like whenever you're going to whenever you go to therapy, like doesn't there so like, you don't just go whenever you're in a bad situation.
Right.
Like you go whenever you're. You go whenever like just because you want to grow.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, hey, I want to know more about myself.
Yeah, and I think you know obviously we're different generations, right? Yeah. So I'm 53. These guys are in their 20s. 31. But he looks like he's 22. No doubt.
Oh, God.
Amazing. But, like, my generation, you know, the way I grew up was, you know, I had to grow up and I had to, if I wanted something done, I had to take care of myself, right? Mm-hmm. I had to do things for myself. My generation was, you don't talk about your feelings. Mm-hmm. That's weakness.
Yeah.
That's a weakness as a man. It's not something you do. You deal with it, right? You shove it down, you deal with it. That's what you do. And that's kind of how we were brought up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a reason why a lot of people don't go and why I didn't go for a long time because I thought that makes me less of a man. You know, if I can't deal with this on my own, you know, just suck it up. Just deal with it.
Honestly, I think our generation still got that. Like, I think the newer generation's finally getting that released off of them that you can talk about being your feelings. Because I feel like me and Thomas specifically have heard all our lives, men don't cry, all the rest of the other stuff that, like, men, as men, we're not allowed to talk about any type of feeling type thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, now we're just now starting to disassociate with the older generation about that, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
I'd say probably in the last 10 years, 5 years,
yeah,
it's become way more acceptable.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, the 70s and 80s. Way more acceptable in the last 10 years than it was back then, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I just wanted to touch on is, you know, I know that what I've realized is that, you know, some of these trials we go through, some of these weaknesses that we have, or some of these defects that we have, if you will, what's amazing is how God uses those things to help others.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many times, for no reason, I've sat on a plane, you know, used to travel a lot for work, and I'd sit on a plane, out of all the seats, the person who sat right next to me was dealing with severe anxiety for flying.
Mm-hmm.
Or I run into someone and, you know, they're dealing with alcohol or drugs issues. And just way more than it should be naturally, right? So I'm very open about my past. I talk to strangers about it sometimes. You know, I just love talking to people.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how what you've gone through, you can use to help others.
Yeah.
And God really facilitates that in just in a miraculous way.
Mm-hmm. Man. That makes me think about my, like, just my own personal experience with my current situation. Like, I've brought up, like, we had a conversation yesterday in our one small group, how if whenever I feel like it's a lot easier whenever you're in tune with God,
yeah,
to be able to say, like, my situation can be a testimony even while I'm in it.
good.
And it's not just like at the end. It's not just at the end of it where like, oh, look at what God brought me through. Which is a good thing. Like you get to the you can get to the end. You get to the end of your like a trial.
Yeah.
And, but even in the midst of the trial, God's still there.
Well, it just gives you so much credibility, right? So,
yeah.
You know, if someone were to talk to me about, you know, battling alcohol or addiction or depression, whatever it might be, if they haven't gone through that,
yeah,
you know, in my mind, I feel like, man, you don't understand. Like, you
right.
don't, you don't
mm-hmm.
get it. Like,
yeah.
You know, so while we're going through it, there's other people going through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, as they say, iron sharpens iron, right?
Yeah.
So if you're in that same place, you know, you can help each other along and encourage each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's huge. You know, one of the biggest influences on my life is one of my best friends. His name's Pat Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes to church with us.
Okay.
And Pat's just an incredible human being. And he has been such an influence on me in maintaining my sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
He also, you know, he's had some experience with it, but and he shares that. I'm not sharing anything that he doesn't share openly, but he has been my rock through going through this. You know, there have been, I'll tell you what's interesting is, you know, like I said, I'm coming up on 11 years.
Yeah.
But it's still, I don't want to say a daily battle, but it's still a battle even after 11 years. You know, it's funny, about once a year I'll have a conversation with Sarah. And she knows it's coming. Sarah's my wife. She's amazing. She's gotten so good at it, you know, where I'm 100% serious. And I'll say, you know what? I'm a different person now. I'm older now. I'm more wise. I'm in my faith. You know, it would be fine for me to have a case of beer. I can put one or two in the fridge. That way I don't drink a ton. And I'm literally thinking, at that time, at that moment, in that moment, that I can do this. Like, I can
yeah.
do this. And, you know, when I first started doing this, she'd go, no, you can't, no, you can't. And it's amazing. She's learned that she just listens, and I talk through it, and at the end I say, nah, you know what? I can't do that. You know? So I get to that place where I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, but it is. It's hard because, you know, you go out with your buddies and they're having a couple beers and the way the world is, you know, it'd be nice just to kind of numb yourself a little bit just to get that relaxation feeling. You know, I still crave, though. I still crave that. I do. But, you know, it's about community. It's about who
yeah.
you surround yourself
yeah.
with, right? And you guys know. I mean, you know, you surround yourself with good people and people with, you know, similar values, similar beliefs. And, you know, you have that person to kind of lean on their shoulder when you need it, you know, and you know they have your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
You know, one thing Pat and I did is, you know, we kind of at the beginning of our relationship, we kind of had a pact that we said, if we see each other stumbling or messing up or doing something, you know, not real godly, we give each other permission to call it out. And I think everybody needs
yeah,
accountability for sure, especially
so
as
good.
Men, we need accountability. And, you know, and in the moment when you hear it, it, you know, you might get a little upset, you know, say I raised my voice to my son
mm-hmm.
and Pat might go, hey, Dave, you gotta, you know, the immediate reaction is, don't tell me what to do. That's my kid, right? That's what you think immediately.
Right.
That's kind
yeah.
of your reaction.
Yeah.
But, you know, we made that pact, you know, and I know he's coming out of love.
Yeah.
You know, he's not coming to put me down or to embarrass me or humiliate me. He's coming from love. You know, we've done that back and forth with each other over the years where, you know, we need to call each other out every once in a while and say, hey, you know, get back in step. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, but we have that relationship that we know that, you know, it's out of love. So.
Accountability yeah. is huge.
Yeah.
I also believe what you said was so deep about, like, people you surround with, because the Bible talks about bad company corrupts good manners. So, like, you could be having all the right intentions, but if you're surrounded by the wrong people all the time,
mm.
their views, and they'll get to you. Like, you know, I mean, if you're not pulling them up, they're pulling you out. And that's
yeah.
so important to see that, like, okay, now this, I'm out of this lifestyle. Let me go around people who have the same mindset of, I got out, I'm not going back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so powerful.
There's a few good things in that Bible, huh?
Oh. 66 books, it's got to be good. 40 different authors, it's insane.
I think I want to kind of pivot us for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think what you're talking about is really good, but you also mentioned how you had to establish these new habits. And I was kind of curious as to what those were and how you went about establishing them.
Great question. That's awesome. It's interesting because I remember the day that something kind of clicked in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at church. And our founding pastor, Pastor Lee, had given a message, and it was about guardrails. And he talked about, in his life, you know, he realized that, you know, it's a healthy practice to put guardrails up in your life. Like, he gave examples of, you know, he used to travel a lot for work. I used to travel a lot for work. And he would say, you know, one of my guardrails was I would never be alone with a female at any point. It's just a good guardrail to put up.
Yeah.
He said, I would never drink more than two alcoholic beverages within 24 hours.
Hmm.
He said, you know, because as you know, once you kind of cross that threshold, you know, your decision-making, all those things get kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
And you lose the ability even more to resist those temptations. And when he said that, it kind of clicked with me. And I said, man, you know what? That makes a lot of sense to me. Putting guardrails up in your life to kind of protect yourself and protect your heart from temptation, right? Because temptation's strong. And,
absolutely.
You know, people who aren't Christians and might be listening to this, you know, once you become a Christian, it's not like the temptations go away. In fact, a lot of times the enemy wants to attack more because you're living a life for Christ now, right? So by using those guardrails in all kinds of facets of your life, that's kind of where it started. But I knew my guardrail had to be zero drinks.
Yeah.
I couldn't do two, right? So it had to be zero. So I decided that day literally to stop. And I did it on my own, which I don't recommend. There's a lot of great support out there, like Alcoholics Anonymous. There's different Christian groups and small groups that you can go to about it. But being a hard head that I was, I just said, I'm going to do it cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked for me. It was tough, but it worked. And that was really the thing. So, you know, some of the habits that I got into, you know, I quit going to places where it was just about partying. You know, I eliminated those. I had to eliminate some friends in my life, right? That was kind of their deal, was just kind of going out and partying it up. You know, I kind of had to separate myself from that a little bit.
Like the other side of community.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, just things like, and it's interesting because with habits and with addiction and things, a lot of times you tie them to certain activities. Like if I were to go to a Pirates game, you got to have a beer when you go to the Pirate game. You hear people say it on TV.
Yeah.
You hear announcers say it on the radio. You know, someone will say, oh, I didn't drink last night, you know, because you went to the game and you didn't drink a beer? What's wrong with you? It's like, no, those two don't have to go together, you know? They really don't. And there's a lot of pressure in society that put those things on you, you know? And I would say alcohol is really tough because it's legal.
Yeah.
You can get it anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And it's everywhere around us. Anytime you go to the restaurant, anytime you go to a sporting event, anytime you go, it's always there. And you can get it. You don't need to sneak around. You don't need to go to a special dealer. You know, I mean, you can get it whenever you want.
Absolutely.
There's nothing preventing you from getting it. So, you know, it is. It's a struggle. It's a battle. You know, you got to battle it. And, but yeah, those are some of the habits that I really kind of focused on. Also, you know, going to church every week and you know, also just, again, that getting that community around you, being around the right people.
Yeah.
And replacing it with other things, you know, healthier things, so.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah,
that, like, Well, he talked about guardrails. Whenever you were talking about it, were you talking about I remember a message that was like more recent.
3 weeks ago a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. When he was driving, he was talking about, but that.
This was 11 years ago.
Right. I was like, he just talked about that recently too.
Interesting.
Yeah. But man, that's nuts though that you remember those details after 11 years. That speaks to the impact it made.
For sure. I mean, it's a complete change of life.
Yeah.
It's a complete change of life. You know, and then you worry about it. You're like, hey, am I going to be fun? Are people going to want to be around me?
Yeah.
Because I used to be the jokester and the, you know.
Still are.
Well, yeah. At my age now, man, I don't do the crazy daredevil stunt stuff I used to do because it hurts way more. But, yeah, I used to have no fears, no consequences, you know, all the time. Just getting out there and getting wild. That's good. But yeah, it's a big life change. So it is something that you remember, and it's something that you, it's a big pivot point in your life for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's so powerful. I love the Bible. I always refer to it. But like when the God talks about how we overcome Satan, he says by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that's so powerful because your testimony, Dave, is going to help so many people who are in that struggle now and those people who have overcame that struggle, hearing it so they can keep staying on the right path. It is so powerful to hear that.
Well, also, it might just help people, like, maybe that have gone through it and have now overcome it, be more open about sharing their own testimony. Because a lot of the time people might just think, like, who's going to listen to me?
Yeah.
Who's going to listen to what I have to say?
Yeah, and it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In fact, it's something you should be proud of.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And especially if you can help someone with that. And, you know, I would just say to anyone out there that is, you know, struggling or, you know, is thinking that maybe this is becoming an issue, just talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Reach out to someone, you know. Don't do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hold it in. Let someone know, you know. Check out Amplify Church. Go online.
Yep.
Check out our church, man, because we are a church of broken people. You
yes.
do not have to be perfect to come into our
Amen.
Church because we'd have zero people. And we've all been through things.
Absolutely.
We've all had life experiences. And we're there to help, support, and love. So, you know, and again, the church has been such a big part of my life. And that was the other thing, you know, my dad's parents, they were both really bad alcoholics. And he went through a really hard life. And then it kind of carried on to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it carried on to me. And, you know, once I had children, I said, you know what? This has to stop.
Yeah.
Like, the chain has to break here. Like, I don't want my kids to ever see me wasted or, you know, being a fool. And I don't want them to have to deal with this. So, you know, the one thing about Amplify is, you know, I am so, so thankful for people like you and Sean and just so many other people that have just poured into my kids' lives. And the fact that they have such a strong relationship with Christ. It was funny because when my younger son got baptized, my older son got baptized a couple years ago, and then my younger son got baptized last year or this year, I can't remember. But once he got baptized, I went to one of our pastors, Brandon. He was there, and I said, Brandon, I can literally die tomorrow. I said, my life is complete. My boys are saved. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I could die tomorrow, and it's okay. And because, unfortunately, they're going to go through struggles.
Yeah.
And they have gone through struggles. But man, but do they have a base, a foundation that I never had. That's the other thing. You know, I only became a Christian at 40. So, you know, I didn't have God in my life. But boy, they do. And what a difference that makes in life. It's huge.
Yep.
So I'm just so thankful for, you know, your guys' generation and the way that you guys pour into these younger kids. And it's just, you guys are incredible. I can't imagine at your age being where you guys are at because I was so lost at that point, you know, and you guys are just so amazing. And it just gives me hope for the future, so.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that, dude.
Yeah,
I mean it from my heart.
I think the same thing when I think, look at, like, we had Andrew on here, And I think the same thing when I look at him.
Yeah.
And because whenever I first started coming here, and he was 18 when I first started coming, and I was like, how much, you know how much about the Bible? Yeah. Like, I've read like a page. And like,
in the beginning, that's what I have.
Right. And like, so no, like, I know, I maybe not, like, of course there's like different time span between us and, but like, but no, I kind of get the testament. I also like, there's one thing that was popping in my mind the whole time you were talking, like while you were talking though, specifically about alcohol. Cause like, I never really, don't know if you would call it it was a problem to the extent of whenever I would go out, I would drink just because it was a social thing to do.
Yeah.
And I never got to the point of blacking out. I've gotten to a point where I've lost a couple hours, but like
that is blacking out.
Yeah.
Losing time.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean you pass out.
Right.
Sometimes you do, but blacking out is losing a period of time.
Mm-hmm. And like now I never decided to stop drinking. I just don't. And like part of it was just like it was expensive. Like my last beer run, like I remember it was like $70. And yeah. I was drinking IPAs and like drinking everything. And I can't do that. I just never went back. And like I have a cabinet full of like bottles and stuff, and like I haven't touched it in over a year.
Are you trying to tempt me?
No, sorry, Dave. Sorry, Dave.
We have no bottles in this house.
Sorry. Don't make your brother stumble. I was telling Sean the other day, I think I told my friend David, I was saying, like, I tried some whiskey the other day, like, a couple weeks ago. Just like, yeah, you know, I haven't had it in a while. It's been there. I was like, I'll try some. I was like, and I took a sip. I was like, man, this stuff is gross. I had half the bottle gone. I was like, how am I drinking this stuff? I was like, I was just drinking it because it was, like, the manly thing to drink.
Right.
And I bought it because I had a monkey on the bottle.
There you go. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I was like, why not? And, like, I feel like I just lost it. Like, personally, I feel like I just lost the taste for it. Like, I'll go out. I'll still have a beer when I go out. And, like, mm-hmm. just, like, one casual beer with a friend. And, like, but, like, having it at home, like, it feels like in my old life.
Yeah.
It feels like I was thinking, like, what I was specifically thinking about while you were talking was, like, whenever I became a Christian, I was starting diving more into my faith more. Because I was, guess, technically a Christian, Roman Catholic, growing up, but, like, I fell away from my faith for a while. And that was part of that life, with drinking and always having beer in the fridge and then, like, going out every other weekend. And I think about it now, like, I do not like who I am whenever, even after a couple drinks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not. So it's like, I just don't. It's like, it was like my, I never actually made that decision. It was just like, it just fell off.
Yeah.
And I think like, I'm thankful for that.
For sure. For sure.
Like, it just like was never like the temptation. It was like the temptation was like gone. And the idea of like drinking, like it like was almost detestable.
Yeah. And with that also, you know, when you're in that, you know, especially if you're, you know, in an addiction type level,
yeah,
it comes with a lot of lying,
yeah,
a lot of deceit, a lot of bad things, right? And that weighs on you too. So, you know, it's not just the physical effects of alcohol that, you know, that make it troubling.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying for everyone.
Yeah.
A lot of people can have a couple beers and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm jealous. I wish I could have two beers and stop. That'd be great, but I can't. And I kind of compare it to, like, it's almost like an allergic reaction.
Mm.
Like, if you were allergic to penicillin, Sean, and you took penicillin, your body would just react in such a way. If I took it, my body wouldn't react that way, right?
Right.
I kind of see alcohol the same way for me. It takes a hold of me.
Yeah.
And it takes me into dark places. It just affects my chemistry differently. So, you know, I'm not saying people can't drink ever or anything like that. You know, if you're sensible, responsible, and you can, that's awesome. You know, that's good on you. But, you know, just for me, it just didn't work.
I honestly agree. I mean, I feel like when it comes to alcohol specifically, it's like, it's taken me to the very darkest places of humankind. And like, the man I was when I'm on alcohol is just awful. Like, literally, I'm a womanizer when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, because I'm trying to do everything the world wants. Like, I think everybody else who's worldly would think I'm fun and exciting because that's the worldly look of things.
Yeah.
But, like, on a, like, once I got, like, I agree with you, Thomas. Like, when I got into a real, like, because I was a prodigal son, I've done everything under the sun. But at first, I started with a relationship with God from, like, from zero until, like, 19. I had a really strong relationship with God. 19, I had a falling away when I was in college, first week of college, and... Because that's when you get your freedom, and then you act stupid with the freedom.
Right.
Yeah. So that was me. So, like, diving deep into that, most of those problems and reason why I didn't finish college was because of alcohol and weed.
Yeah.
Literally, those were the things. If I wasn't getting weed, I was drinking. And those drinks were like, oh, okay, I was drinking because... It's the social norm. Every Friday and Saturday, you gotta party hard. Boom, boom. Oh, we're having a party Tuesday this time. We had to drink. Boom, boom. You know what I mean? Like, wherever the party was, you had to drink. And those drinks was like, okay, now that you're drunk, you can be crazy fun Sean. And now that you're crazy fun Sean, you have to find a hot chick and sleep with her.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, you fell for the night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was, like, the mindset that was behind it. And that's why, like, it's so... incredible what God does, because now, like, if I have a beer, right, it's not the same as when I was drinking before, because now I can't really enjoy a beer like I used to. I'm not going to hold you as a Christian man, it's not the same as where I was when I was a worldly man drinking a beer, because when I was a worldly man, I was thinking, okay, I drink this beer and now I could get drunk and now I could drink. But now when I drink, I'm just like, bro, this is nasty. Why am I doing this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the taste is like, why? Like, it's, I try to do it to be funny. What am I doing? It's like, after I do it, it's like instant regret. Like, why'd you do it? It's not good. It didn't taste good. There was no good outcome from it. You know what I mean?
Pros and cons.
Yeah. So,
not
like,
too many pros.
Like,
a lot of cons.
No. Like, honestly, that's why I lost my Walmart job, because I was being goofy. My friends were golfing. They came in, work with a beer, and I was like, oh, shoot, let me, pastor drinks beer, it'd be funny. And boom.
Yeah.
It wasn't funny.
Consequences.
Like, consequences, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, oh, I was, like, buying beer off my friends or, like, planning to drink that day. The devil just tempted me.
Yeah.
Because I haven't drank in, like, 3 years, and he was like, here, just have a sip. And boom.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I can't believe you said prodigal son, because
yeah,
that is absolutely my very most favorite story in the Bible. And it's the one I relate to the most,
yeah,
is prodigal son. So I can't believe you said that. That's incredible. The other thing is, one of the things is when you're consuming, you know, lots of alcohol and getting drunk, you do stupid things. But the next day you can say, oh, I was drunk. Oh, I was,
yeah,
you have an
yeah
excuse.
Yeah.
But guess what? When you get sober, you don't have that excuse anymore.
Yeah.
So you really got to, you know, it's a whole shift of your mindset. It's like, I could still be a crazy dude and sober, but now if I do something really dumb or, you know, something that's immoral, I can't say, oh, I was drunk, you
yeah
know?
Yeah.
No, that's me now. That's
yeah
on me.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's another adjustment that you make, I think.
Mm-hmm. I want to, like, speak to a couple of things. Like, the... that we talked about two different sides of the community that you brought up, of how being in like the old community of like what was causing you to essentially go off the cliff and go over your like what the guardrails you hadn't set yet, like you go over the cliff and realizing like part of the guardrail is that they're actually for you, those people were actually like the people at least in those activities would put you over the edge, and then realizing that like there's actually a different community that can help you have a healthier life. Not they don't even have to be like telling like
like you have like Pat Barnes, and like, but even specifically, you don't even necessarily need to have like you should. I feel like it's great, and I feel like if you have you like if you don't have somebody in your life for like that right now, maybe it's because you don't have the right like you're not surrounding yourself with the right people. But like, can I have like Andrew Brigado,
mm-hmm.
And like we talk to each other, and like I'll ask him like, did I like. Was that dumb? I'll ask him, like, was that dumb? And I feel like you have to ask. just being around people that have, like, I think specifically speaking from, like, a Christian standpoint, and being around people that have that, like, visible wisdom and, like, had that weather. Like, being around you who has been through something and has been through stuff that you put yourself through, but now know what it's like to go through that. Like, just being around before knowing that, like, I would still I still think the same thing of like oh wow, like he's this light, he's this person who people see, and like he has his heart to serve, he like always seems to be in this bright, happy attitude, and like now you're telling, and now you're telling like what happened way before that, what led up to that point. So like, I have that one question written down, and we're definitely like way over time. This is gonna be our longest episode.
I think people love it though.
I'll ask one final question.
Sure.
Is it the beauty and the breaking, pretty much?
Not specifically. I don't know where you're going with that. But
because that's what you were leading off with just now. Like,
was it?
Because you were talking about how they, well, he was all broken and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And now that God has refined David into like the man that he is now, and he's happy and joyous from all the broken pieces. So, the beauty and the breaking.
Okay, well, you got that out of what I said. That's not where I was going, but that's what you got out of it. That's
yes.
good.
And you guys listening, the dynamic of these two is amazing. You just gotta see it. It's I love it. I love it. They're amazing together. Where were you going, Thomas?
Yeah, my final question. It's for the people, for the people who are listening, who don't know what their guardrail should be, and like how like if they're like I don't feel like I have any guardrails, how do you go about identifying what those are?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I shared, you know, for me it came through a sermon, right?
Yeah.
through Pastor Lee. If you don't have that, number one I'd say get into church. Find a church near you, plug into a community. It's life-changing. It's amazing. It'll change your life forever. But, you know, if you're looking at yourself and deciding, you know, what guardrails can I set up, I would say take a look at, you know, what is bringing you down?
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
What is causing stress in your life? What is causing you to argue with your friends or your significant other? What are those things that are constantly negative? What are the effects of what you're seeing? And then find guardrails to help you keep away from that, right? That's what guardrails are. Like you said,
yeah.
Going over the cliff, right? So what are the things that are sending you over the cliff?
Yeah.
You know, is it if it's drinking, then you put up a guardrail and you say, listen, I'm not going to drink. If it's pornography, you say, well, you know what? I'm not going to be alone on my computer. You know, whatever it is. But again, you need to find someone for accountability.
Yeah.
You know, that's huge. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with someone. Let them know what you're doing and ask them to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
That's so important because we're not strong enough on our own. We definitely are not. And that's where God really comes in, because God is strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
God can overcome. He can do miraculous things.
Man.
And, you know, having that faith and having that relationship with Christ and with, you know, with God is key, I think, in anything in life, you know, and it's just such a better life, man. I can just tell you that the other side is so much better. It's hard, and especially at first, it's difficult, but it's so much better. Mm-hmm. It's so much better. So, and if anybody ever wanted to reach out to me, you know, I'm happy to talk to anyone. So, you know, if you see me at church, see me out, whatever, come up, man. I'm happy to talk to you. So,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave, for coming, like, and like having the thing down with us, because yeah, this was like this. I've been saying it a lot every time we record a new episode, but this is now my favorite episode.
He says that to all the guests now. You know, he tries to butter them up. So.
I also have to say, you know, they can't see it, we don't have a camera yet, but like, I really like that watch.
Oh, can I tell you a funny story about this watch real fast? Yeah. And we'll end. So, you know, back in the day before kids and, you know, I was making decent money and had more expendable income.
Yeah.
You know, I would buy some really nice watches, mm-hmm. You know, I'd have like Tag Heuer or Movado, you know, it might be $1,100, $1,200, nothing super crazy. Like, you know, Rolex is 10 grand, but yeah. Nice, you know, expensive watches.
Yeah.
And they were nice. This watch that I have on right now, I exponentially get more compliments on this watch. Every day almost, people point it out and go, I love that watch. That's amazing. Guess how much this watch cost?
It's the cheapest watch in the set, huh?
Guess how much?
It looks nice though. I'm guess $300.
That's around what I was gonna guess.
$30.
What?
$30. So again, it goes. That's another great thing. It goes to show you, right?
Yeah.
It's not always about the brand. It's not always about the clout. It's not always about how much something costs.
Let's go.
That's good.
Literally, this is the second one I've had of the exact same watch. So $30. So yeah, you don't have to spend a lot of money, you know, to have nice things, I guess.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Too. No, but I appreciate you guys having me. Seriously, this was so much fun, especially for an old man like me to hang out with you guys. And, you know, this is a different world for me. So I loved it, man. I loved it. I love you guys. And just thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. We love you, Dave, for real. And the words you spoke will definitely help other people. So that's amazing.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. If you watched listen to this whole episode, I really appreciate it. This is definitely our longest one. But if you don't already, if you're listening on Spotify or you're listening on Apple Podcasts or any platform that you can subscribe, definitely give us a follow, five-star review, and share us out on social media if you really like this episode. We honestly really appreciate it. Every single time we see somebody share out one of our episodes on Instagram or Facebook or whatever platform you're on. So, but yeah, we'll I want to say again, thank you, Dave, for coming down, and we see you guys next time.
We love you.